to take a look at Romans 8 this morning. As I was praying last night when Levi texted me, and praying throughout this morning, I just was confessing to the Lord. I just felt like I had absolutely nothing to give this morning, and just confessing that that I was willing that I'll show up and expect the Lord to do what He does. And as I was praying this morning and just reading through some scripture, He just kept going over Romans 8. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I'm like, okay, Lord, what about Romans 8? Where do I start? What are we looking at here? What are we doing? And so it was a while ago. I'll preface it with, I grew up in the body in the church that I grew up in. The majority of what I heard growing up, as far as teaching from the scriptures, was a lot of law. It was a lot of do this, don't do this. A lot of drugs and sex are bad, stay away from that, don't do that. If you want to know God, read your Bible and pray and you'll know God. And that was basically it. And there was a lot of oughts, a lot of you ought to do this, you ought to do this, you ought to do this. And I believe it was out of a place of sincere love for Jesus and love for His bride and love for holiness and love for godliness to be manifest in the bride. And a love for the grace of Jesus, but a desire for it not to be taken out of context and taken for granted. But as we know from the scriptures, as we know from Romans 7, where Paul talks about the law, that the law inadvertently, when all you do is preach the law, what does it produce in us? Death. It produces, and Paul says, it's not because the law is bad or the commandments are wrong. It's because of the sin in us. He owns up to the fact that it's the sin in us. But when the law is preached, it produces death because of the law of sin and death in us. And so when we propagate that in the body, and that's all that is taught and all that is spoken, when it's out of a sincere desire for holiness in the body, it ends up producing death. Because when you tell someone don't lust or don't be greedy or don't be angry or don't whatever it is, don't do this, and their focus is on not doing that thing, or there's a specific struggle with something and they're like, you know, we all face certain struggles and certain temptations in life, and if you struggle with lust and you're consumed with it, as a believer, you want to be free from it. You know what the Word says. You know what's wrong. You know that it only produces death. But if I sit here and I stand before you and I in love for you and wanting you to live a holy life, and I'm telling you don't lust, and that's all you ever hear, and you're struggling with that, then what are you going to do throughout the week as you're struggling with lust? Every time that a temptation comes, your focus is going to be on, how do I stop lusting? How do I stop this? How do I not do this? And so over and over again, if all that I'm saying is do not lust, it is inadvertently creating more lust in you because of the sin in your life. It's a principle of Scripture. It's a principle of the laws of sin and death working in us. And so I grew up in different parts of the body that was a lot of what I heard growing up. And there was a lot of condemnation from the enemy from that, a lot of guilt, and not very much freedom. There's no freedom in that when that's all that is preached and that's all that is received, because the focus is completely off bubble. Because we'll get into it. So let's start out here with verse 1 in Romans 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So Paul, after speaking about the effects of the law, what it was meant to do, of what it did in the internal turmoil of the flesh and the Spirit dwelling in him, he then goes on, actually really quick, I'd love... I love in chapter 7 how Paul finishes up chapter 7 in verse 24 and 25. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So he's talking about the turmoil between the life of the Spirit in him and the law of sin and death that works in his flesh that is within him. And he's saying, who will deliver me from this? And then he picks up in chapter 8 and he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." For those of us who are in Jesus, the condemnation, and that's the Greek word for condemnation, is actually a legal term, like an accounting legal term that you would think of as in the fact of when someone legally brings what are the words I'm looking for, lays out a case against you or whatever, and you have this all of this evidence against you of this is against you. You are completely guilty because all of this is right here. It's obvious. The facts do not lie. You are condemned. There's no question about it. And we all know that the sin that we were born into, that we are children of Adam and we've received that sinful nature. We know that's in us. And that we do sin, even now that we are believers and we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us, we still sin, right? I mean, no one here this morning has not sinned within the last week, right? But Paul says that there is no condemnation for us in Jesus. That's a big thing. That's a big thing, not just so that you can live your life and feel good about your sin, or so that you can live your life and do what you want to do, but it's a big thing because of Jesus and who Jesus is. I believe that Jesus' heart towards his saints and towards his bride is not to preach condemnation or to preach law to them or to preach you ought to be doing this and you ought to not be doing that. But it's to reveal to us who He is and who we are in Him. That's what makes this such a big deal. That's what makes this so pertinent for us in our daily life, is because it deals directly with who Jesus is and who we are in Him. That we have no condemnation because we are in Jesus. The rest of the world, you know, there's this attitude in our culture right now, especially within the Christian culture of America, that we need to be tolerant of everything and everyone, and that it's not right for you to judge other people. That it's, you know, Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged, and so we should love everybody and not judge everybody, which I agree to an extent. And the fact of the matter is, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, for anyone that is not in Christ, they're already condemned. They're already being judged. But for us that are in Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's nothing that is brought against us that can stand, because we're in Jesus and we're covered by His blood. That there is nothing that you can do to make God love you any more or any less. That's a big deal. That we are seated in Jesus in the heavenly realms. That we are adopted sons, joint heirs with Jesus. That what is Jesus's? I mean, what does it mean to be a joint heir? That means that everything that is Jesus's, that is rightfully His, we participate in that, right? That we're joint heirs. We're partners in the heirship of Jesus. That what He has, we have access to. You know, down a little farther in the chapter, in verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? That verse is amazing to me. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? I tell you that this morning, if you are in Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, you lack absolutely nothing. There is nothing that you lack. We have access to everything because we are joint heirs with Jesus. He's given us His... Yahweh has given us Himself. He has given us His Son. What else is there that He would withhold from us? He's given us all things. I mean, that's incredible. It includes the natural, the physical, it includes your finances, it includes your job, it includes everything. It includes your... We have been given all spiritual things in Christ, in the heavenly realms. It includes everything. There's literally nothing that I don't have access to on this planet, in heaven or on earth. There's nothing I don't have access to because I have the Spirit of Jesus in me, and I am His, and I'm a joint heir with Him. So everything that is His, I have access to for His glory and for my greatest good. That's amazing. So I don't live under the condemnation of the law of sin and death that used to reign over my body, that used to reign over my being. I don't live like that. I don't have to live under the weight of the guilt of my sin and who I was at the core of my being. That's huge. There's nothing else. There is no other religion, there is no other teaching, there is nothing else on the face of this planet from the beginning of creation until now. There's nothing else that preaches that. There's nothing else that gives us that. Because no one else can. Jesus is the only one that can give us that. And so if we don't have any condemnation in Jesus, then the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Jesus from the law of sin and death. And Sam has used this illustration before, and I love it. It's beautiful to what Jesus is saying here. You have two laws at work here that are always at constantly at work. The law of the spirit of life in the life of a believer, and the law of sin and death. And we think of it like the law of gravity. The law of sin and death can be compared to the law of gravity. The law of gravity says that anything that if I throw something in the air, it has to come down every time. There's no getting around it. Every time if I throw this highlighter up in the air, it's always going to fall down. Like there's no time that I ever throw this up in the air that it's not going to come down. Because the law of gravity is constantly at work on the marker and on us. It's why we're not floating around. I mean, it's basic science. You guys all know this, right? It's the same thing with the law of sin and death. It's always around us. It's always pressing in, pressing on us. But there is something that transcends the law of gravity. It's called the law of aerodynamics, which means that we can take a huge chunk of metal the size of a house and put these long wings on it, and we can mold the wings to a certain shape and put enough thrust behind it that we can launch this chunk of metal carrying people into the air, and it will transcend the law of gravity. That it can go across continents. It can go across countries. It can travel for thousands of miles, transcending the law of gravity, because the law of aerodynamics is at work. And it's the same thing with the life of the law of the spirit of life in us. It can transcend the law of sin and death that is constantly pressing on us, so that we don't have to live under the weight of the law of sin and death working in us. We don't have to live under the weight of the struggles and temptations that we face, that we are now free in the Spirit to live by the law of the Spirit of life. I love that. I wish I know what it means to walk and to live in that, and I want it more. If I ask for anything for you guys from the Lord, if I want anything for you, it's that. It's that you would know Jesus even more, and that you would know who you are in Him, and that you would walk by the Spirit better and more and more. That you would get more of Jesus reigning over your life. That's my number one thing that I desire for the body of Christ and for my own life, is I want more of Jesus reigning over me. I want more freedom in Christ. Let me rephrase that. That's kind of funky wording. I have all freedom in Jesus, and I want to walk in it more and more. You know, Galatians 5 says that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's a law. It's the law of Spirit of life working and reigning over us. That if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking, sourcing from the Spirit of life, from the source of all uncreated life inside of us, if that is our source, if that is our life, if that is what is reigning over our mortal bodies, then we can't sin. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to gratify the desires of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's an amazing thing that happens when you proclaim the law of the Spirit of life over your life and over to the body. If that is what is propagated, if that is what is preached, there's an amazing thing that happens. There's a newfound freedom and a newfound holiness in Christ that is increasing in us, that simply preaching law and preaching the do's and don'ts and the oughts and ought not to's will never accomplish. There's something that just within my own life, there's certain things that I'm going to go ahead and share this. When the Lord brought us to El Dorado, I grew up in a body that really, like I said, sincerely loved Jesus and desired holiness and desired for that in the life of the saints and really, in some misguided ways, just proclaimed law, and that was basically it. And part of that was placing just for instance with alcohol. And I don't want to get a big deal about this. This is what I'm pressing in to decide if this is really necessary. The scriptures make it plain that it's wrong to get drunk. That's a bad thing. It's not good for us to abuse alcohol as a substance and to get drunk. That's a bad thing. The body that I grew up in really propagated that alcohol in general was a sin. That you shouldn't touch alcohol at all, and I don't have any problems if someone has a conviction that because of the effects of alcohol and because of the probability or the possibility of becoming drunk or even becoming an alcoholic or whatever. I've got family members that their parents were. His dad was an alcoholic and he won't touch alcohol, he won't go anywhere near it. And he doesn't go around propagating alcohol is a sin to touch alcohol, don't do it or anything like that. But that's a personal conviction of his. Does that make sense? So anyways, so that was the thing, that it was you don't touch it. It's wrong, it's sinful, it's of the devil, and you don't touch it. And so when the Lord brought us here, and I got connected with some mature believers in the Lord here, and we began to fellowship together. There were certain things like that weren't an issue. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't an issue of don't touch alcohol. It was an issue of the Lordship of Jesus reigning over your life. And so when the issue was not at picking at these little things that are considered taboo among certain camps, and the issue was the Lordship of Jesus, there was a certain measure of freedom in Jesus to live a holier life than under the nitpicking of the do's and don'ts and the oughts and ought not to's. Does that make sense? That may have just been... Anyways... So, when the law of the Spirit of life is working in us, we are actually is working in us. In verse 4, it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And this is evident in Jesus' teaching when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is going through some things, and he's saying, "You've heard it's been said of old, do not commit adultery." And then he's taking it a step further, and he's really getting at the heart of the issue, and not just at the surface level of the sin. He's really getting at the heart, at our hearts, about what it is in our hearts. And he does the same thing with anger and a few other things. So he takes the surface of the law and he goes even deeper. And so what happens when we live under the law of the Spirit of life is that the same thing happens, that we end up fulfilling the commandments of the law. We end up fulfilling righteousness and holiness. The righteousness that is Jesus's, that covers us, we begin to actually walk that out in our own experiences. And that's a really cool thing. That when we can live our life under the freedom of the law of the Spirit of Jesus reigning over us, and we can overcome sin, and we can overcome guilt and condemnation from the enemy, and we can live more free and more holy than we ever have before. So just in closing, real quick, I want to skip down to verse 14. It says, "For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." I just want to encourage you guys this morning, if you don't get anything else out of the scripture there, that as sons of the living God, there is, the more you strive in the flesh to accomplish things, the more that we strive with the do's and the don'ts, or the ought to's and the ought not to's, the more that you're going to fall into exactly what you're trying to get out of, or trying not to do, or trying to do, you won't do it. So I just want to encourage you guys in that as the scriptures say, that if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, then we belong to Him. And if the Spirit of Jesus, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It's a fact. You can take it to the bank. If the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you, then let the Spirit of Jesus reign over your life. And if you're submitted to that, no matter how weak we are, if we continually focus on that and submit to that, then the law of the Spirit of life will reign over our mortal bodies. And we will transcend the law of sin and death. So don't, this week, as you face the struggles of this life and this walk, and as Jesus pricks at your heart lovingly and tenderly to correct you and build you up in Him, don't focus on those things. Don't focus on the temptation. Focus on Jesus and focus on His Lordship reigning over your life inside of you, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. May He equip you and may He reign over your life. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You that we get the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He dwells in us. That You said that if we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that You will give us Your Spirit. And we thank You that the Spirit of life in us transcends the law of sin and death that is weighing down on us. And Lord, I pray for grace. Lord, I pray for revelation. I pray for more. Lord, may your Spirit reign over us this week. May we know, Lord, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trial, may we not focus on those things. May we focus on you, Jesus. And may the Spirit of life, may the law of the Spirit of life reign over our mortal bodies. For your glory, Jesus. Amen.